There we are. Hello and welcome to the show. It's your call. It's your show. It's your call.ca is the website. We got a link right there. You can do a little clicky click and you can appear on screen and have your comments heard and be heard all around the world, wherever people are tuning in. We got people tuned in from Pembroke today, y'all. Pembroke in the house. I just saw you log on moments ago. Not trying to be creepy, but it does tell me where you log in from. So thank you. Podcast numbers continue to be encouraging. Thank you. This is a relatively new foray for me into doing talk content. Typically, I'm the poo-poo fart joke guy. But between the records, and yes, I still call them records. Boy, that is a relentless snow out there. I'm glad to be doing this right now, because it gives me another half hour or so to procrastinate and not fire up the snowblower and get out there and take care of business. Speaking of, yeah, we're going to talk about all things gas on the show today. There's no real gentle way to segue into the fact that the show is brought to you by McCarthy Automotive. Yes, they'll look after that gas-powered vehicle of yours, and boy, will they look after that gas-powered vehicle of yours. And they do. For so many folks, it is family-owned and operated. And listen, you just do a little drive by 1150 Heron Road, you will see some of the biggest names in Ottawa. Their company trucks are out there because McCarthy Automotive are also fleet vehicle specialists. These companies know that they'll be back on the road in a reliable, well-maintained, well-serviced vehicle. All right, let's get to it. Who we got? Mahati is on. Tara is on. Hello, hello. Angela, hello to you. Hein, hello. Mike, hello. There we go. All right, the gang is all here. Let's just start with this question. Is the attack on all things gas getting just a little out of control? Like, are we moving at lightning speed on this? Are you getting a little pissed off? Like, at every single turn now, it's like anything gas powered. Nope, gotta be electric, 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 electric. Okay, let's back it up a bit. Shouldn't you and me, the consumers, be the ones dictating what is available on the market? Look, this is what Enterprise has done, right? We had the horse and buggy. Henry Ford said, look, I've come up with a thing you may want to consider. People went, no, I'm going to stick with my horse and buggy, thanks. Others said, yeah, you know, gas-powered seems all right. We chose VHS over beta. We chose black and white TV over color. We chose CD over vinyl. We chose cassette over 8-track. We chose the iPhone over the BlackBerry. Consumers are the ones who make choices. Put better options in front of us, and I'm convinced that, yes, we will make the right choice. But here comes another attack on gas. 613-604-6464. You can call, you can text the show, post your comments on whatever social media platform you happen to be watching us on. Consumers, in my opinion, they're going to make the right choice when it comes to whatever, including gas or electric vehicles, including gas or electric stoves. We'll get to that in just a moment. We don't need to be forced, do we? I resent the forcefulness of this. It's not you and me deciding. We're being told we won't have a decision down the road. And that's where my back gets kind of, you know, my back gets up on that. The average, by the way, I drive a Dodge Ram and I got a gas-powered RV sitting in my driveway. All right? I have had a boat. I just told you I was going to fire up a gas-powered snowblower and take care of the snow. There's a lot of gas in my world. I will admit it. But I'm also someone who wants to make a wise choice when it comes to my next vehicle, for example. And the arguments are starting to convince me that I need to take a serious look at electric vehicles. The average internal combustion engine car today is expected to last around 200,000 miles. Yes, miles. This is according to Car and Driver in the States. Okay? Gas-powered engine, 200,000 miles. Maintaining a traditional vehicle will cost you, over its lifetime, around $20,000. It's a lot of money. Another good argument for, you know, going to McCarthy Automotive. At least you know you're spending that money right. Oh, by the way, maintaining an electric vehicle for that same period, the cost is around $12,000. Okay. You're starting to get my attention when I start seeing things like that. I still have a lot of questions, because that's an $8,000 difference. I still have a lot of questions. Okay, listen, yeah, okay, gas is a pollutant, absolutely. But so's battery acid. How does a battery-powered engine really last in our climate? And not just here in Ottawa, but I mean, like, Ottawa's the south of Canada, right? Like, the U.S. border's 40 minutes down the road. How do these batteries fare, you know, once you get to North Bay, Thunder Bay, Hudson Bay, Sioux Lookout, Nunavut? Okay? But, okay, I'm paying attention to the articles. And by the way, my lease is up on my vehicle, so I need to make a decision. What am I going to do? So I'm paying attention to this stuff. Well, that's great. You pay all the attention and you look at all the options you want. Coming soon, you're not going to have a choice. Last month, your government announced that they are going to begin mandating the proportion of electric vehicles sold in this country. 20% of vehicles sold in Canada in 2026. And completely banning the sale of gas-powered cars and trucks by 2035. 2035 ain't a long way away. It really isn't. Now think about the language of this. They're mandating the portion of electric vehicles sold. In other words, you go to a car dealership and they have an inventory of gas-powered vehicles. You would like to have one of those gas-powered vehicles, please. They have them. In fact, they have the very one you want. They cannot sell that to you. Sorry, we can't make that available to you. I know you've got cash in hand. I know you're ready to drive off the lot today, but before we can sell off a gas vehicle, we have to sell five more electrics. Could you come back on Monday? Are you ready for that conversation the next time you want to go and buy a car? Government mandated. Not on what you and I buy. Oh, no, because we would rebel against that. No, no, they're gonna tell the car dealers instead. Yep, you can't sell that gas-powered vehicle. I know you've got 100 of them on the lot, but you can't sell any of them until you sell X number of electrics. It's batshit crazy, isn't it? Ah, what got me onto this today? Well, thanks, Jill Biden. Have you seen this? So there's this big movement now. They're coming for your gas stove. They are. And I guess as the story goes, so Jill Biden is on board with this whole idea of getting rid of the gas stove. And oh, up pops a picture of Jill Biden cooking on the very gas stove that she says she wants to get rid of. Kind of like Justin Trudeau when he said he's going to ban plastic straws. And of course, all these photos from, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And Justin's got a pop can with a plastic straw in it. Oh, yeah, sure. Ban the straws. Look, it's out there. So the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission calls gas stoves a hidden hazard. Okay, and there are some who are starting to make the case for this. I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, so I'm bringing it to your attention. Gas stoves, a hidden hazard. I saw Bunny post earlier that they're already saying if you have birds in your house, and by the way, why do you have birds in your house? Birds belong outside. I just listen, you do you. I know a lot of people have them. I don't get it. And both houses that I've bought, when we went to look at them, had birds flying around in them. It's weird and unsettling. Ah, but I digress. Environmentalists are calling for governments to begin legislating against the use of natural gas in homes and buildings. All together. All together. Their claim is that these gas appliances are causing indoor air pollution. And I appreciate people putting links to YouTube things and stuff like that in chat. I am not clicking on your YouTube links, etc. I'm in the middle of doing a show. I'm just not clicking on it. Sorry. And unless I know what it is, I'm not clicking on it anyway. I'm sure you're well-intentioned, but I'm just not clicking on things that I don't know what they are. All right. The anti-gas crowd. What do we dub these people? I'm anti-gas. All right. Anyway, it just sounded weird to my ear. They are pointing to a report that says that 12.7% of childhood asthma is attributable to gas stoves. We're having a conversation about gas, and out of the corner of my eye, the comments, the reactions are, yeah, birds in houses are weird. That's what's getting the attention. Why do I overthink the content on this? Just talk about birds flying around houses. That's weird. That'll get an audience. Listen, the anti-gas crowd is pointing to a report. It says 12.7% of childhood asthma in the U.S. can be contributed to gas stoves. Now, the paper, of course, doesn't, when you do a little, you know, deep dive, it doesn't actually find a direct correlation between gas stoves and childhood asthma, but it uses estimates about the health risks of gas stoves and data on the number of households cooking with them in order to come up with an estimate. Yeah. But of course, the estimate and the formula for the math doesn't play well to what it is I need to yell and scream to the world about. Ban the gas stoves! So I'm going to ignore that and just say, this is causing this. And maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. This is why I'm asking you. Are you tired of the attack on gas? New York City, by the way, has already banned gas hookups in some new buildings. You cannot hook up gas. Lowell used to talk about this all the time. It never dawned on me. My in-laws are in New Brunswick. As long as I've been going there, 30 years or so, they've had baseboard heat. I just sort of chalked that up to, you know, it's a cottage. That's what they chose for heat. There's also a wood-burning fireplace. Never really gave it much thought. They moved from Ottawa, and their full-time home is in New Brunswick now. And I've, you know, been to the home. Again, baseboard heat. And I just sort of went, oh, yeah, interesting. That's what the house came with. No! That's how they heat their homes down east, because they can't get gas there. They don't even have the choice. You want to put air conditioning in? Yeah. I mean, you got to go with these electric air conditioning units, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Cut holes in the walls. In New York City, there they are, having to figure out new ways of doing things because gas hookups have been banned in some new buildings. California is looking at prohibiting the sale of gas furnaces and water heaters by the end of this decade. Okay, let's back up a little bit here. Remember the derecho storm we had in May? May, by the way, I'm still waiting for my windows to be replaced. Hello, company that I hired to replace the windows. You said December, then you said January. Where are we? Gas stoves are what got most of my neighbors through the countless days that we were without power. You know, that electricity that we are all supposed to gravitate to? The electricity that goes out for days on end? You want to make a pot of coffee? You want to boil water? Even just, you know, if you're nervous about the water system in that kind of a situation, a weather storm, etc. Gas stove. Gas stoves are what many relied on when the ice storm hit. Gas stoves are what many people, you know, relied on when the tornadoes hit Dunrobin in my old neighborhood where I grew up, Arlington Woods. Let's talk about our electric choo-choo train again and again and again and again. You know, the electric train that keeps breaking down because the electric wires can't handle ice. What do we do when the electric train breaks down? Oh, right. Gas-powered buses. This is my question to you today, and it's your call. Are you tired of the attack on gas? Should this not be your choice as a consumer, my choice as a consumer? Or are you happy with this being mandated to us? And just look around your house. I did. Now, I don't have a gas stove. I'd love to have a gas stove. Oh, I'd love to have a gas stove. But I don't. But a gas barbecue. That's the thing that I've relied on during power outages. Are we talking banning gas barbecues? Bet you we are. What about that gas fireplace? You know, the convenient little switch you flick on a wall and the gas fireplace comes on and gives you that ambiance. Saves you having to drag actual wood in and out of the house and clean the fireplace. I got gas heat going in the house. I got a gas-powered water tank. What about you? Some folks have gas-powered dryers. Are you a smoker? What are you going to light your cigarette with? Bye-bye gas lighter. What are you going to light your barbecue with? And don't tell me the built-in click-click-click thing, because that lasts about five barbecues and then it's done. Gas-powered generators. Right? That came up. I saw somebody post that too. Yeah, during the storm, we relied on gas-powered generators. The snowplow out there clearing the road for you today. It ain't getting very far if it's electric. I'm sorry. Say whatever you want for and make whatever argument you want for electric vehicles. They just don't have the same mileage capacity as gas does. It may be more cost effective. And you know what? If all I'm doing is running back and forth to the grocery store and living in the city, you know what? The argument for an electric car, I'm listening. But your snowplow ain't getting very far if it's electric. It's going to spend more time on a charger than it is on your street. Of course, the solution there, oh, we'll just buy more snowplows. Sure. That's what we want. What about the dump truck that comes along and, you know, helps clear that snow away when the snow gets piled too high? I live on a court. There's a snow mountain here every single time, you know, we have a snow buildup. There's a lot of dump trucks. They ain't electric, and they ain't going to be electric. Let's talk to your friendly neighborhood farmer. How do they feel about, you know, cutting their crops and taking care of their fields in an electric tractor? Yeah, it ain't happening. Let's build a new arena downtown Ottawa. Sounds great, right? Yeah, okay. How are we going to haul the cement there? In an electric cement mixer? Hey, do you happen to own a recreational vehicle? Do you have a Winnebago, motorhome? Do you have like a fifth wheel or a hybrid trailer? You know, your stove and your heat and stuff that run on the propane tanks? They're coming for it. Oh, can't you wait to go for a ride on an electric boat? Or an electric airplane? I'm being a little facetious, but I'm also not. Where does it end? There is a huge campaign out there right now just to do away with all things gas. Look, we already know. And I'm sounding like a broken record here, but our grid cannot handle us going all electric. It can't. First off, in my neighborhood, you fart and the power goes out for a day. Never mind a windstorm, and we got lots of windstorms, snowstorms, ice storms. The electricity goes out on our $2.1 billion and counting LRT when a little bit of ice gets on it. Our grid cannot handle. We cannot move. Everybody's car, everybody's furnace, everybody's snow blower, everybody's dryer. You cannot move all of that to the electric grid. The electric grid can't handle what we're doing to it now. And keep in mind, we have already done the things that we've been asked to do. Got to get rid of incandescent bulbs. They are bad, 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 bad. Okay, so we've gone the LED route. We've gone, you know, this, that, the other thing, these weird little bulbs. Remember the spirally things? Here we are. we have cut back and cut back and made all these changes because the grid, they told us, cannot sustain what we are using. They're coming for your stove. Okay, so let's talk cars. Are Canadian consumers actually looking at electric cars? I'm sure we're looking at them. But here's the top-selling cars in Canada for 2022, according to driving.ca. Here's your top 10 best-selling cars in 2022. If Canadians are looking at electric cars, they're not driving off the lot in them in droves. Oh, yeah, so we're going to mandate that. The Hyundai Elantra, number 10. As far as I know, it's not an electric car. At number 9, the Hyundai Kona. Okay. Some are gas. Some are electric. So, okay, people are looking at that. My brother has one. He can drive from Oshawa to Ottawa and then has to, you know, spend a few hours on the charger because he can't get beyond Stittsville. If he comes as far as Hunt Club, he won't be able to get back to Oshawa. I'm sorry, that's not convenient. Like, Ottawa to the GTA and back is a day trip. All right, the Honda Civic at number 8. The Toyota Corolla. I'm sorry, the Honda Civic at number 8, the Honda CR-V at number 7. Then the Toyota Corolla at number 6. Here we go. Starting to get into some gas guzzler now. These are the vehicles that Canadians really love. Your top 5 is this. The GMC Sierra at number 5. The Chevy Silverado at number 4. Toyota RAV4, number 3. I drive a Ram. It's number 2. And the Ford F-Series is number 1. By the way, when you look at the F-Series at Ford, 1 out of 6 of the F-Series vehicles is electric. It's pretty cool electric, too, I gotta say. Credit where credit is due. I'm not typically a Ford guy, but that's a pretty cool vehicle. But there's your top 10. I think we'll throw in a half point for 1 out of 6 Ford F-Series. Your top 5, 4 of them are pickups, gas-powered. Oh, yeah, don't forget, of course, we are influenced a lot by our American friends. If their auto industry ain't changing to electric, is ours, let's be honest. Here's your top 10 best-selling cars in the U.S. of A. The Toyota Highlander at number 10. The Jeep Grand Cherokee. Ah, there's an electric vehicle on there, the Tesla Model Y. Tesla, by the way, probably the biggest name in electric cars. Yeah, they're not even in the top 10 in Canada. There they are. Okay. Number 8 in the States. The Honda CR-V. Here we go. GMC Sierra. Toyota Camry. Okay. We have made the move when it comes to our cars to very, very, economic, friendly on gas cars. The Camry, a great example. The RAV4 is there again. Your top 3 in the States, there's the Ram, there's the Silverado, there's the Ford F-Series. You're telling me that in the next few years, consumers are going to be okay standing on a car lot waiting and waiting and waiting to buy an electric. We're talking 3 years from now. 20% of cars sold must be electric. Sorry, I know you want the gas one I've got. I can't sell it to you right now. That's going to be a weird conversation. Anyway, let's go to what you have to say, and I apologize I haven't had a chance to get to your comments until next. Gas generators, Rosé says. The next ban will be burning anything, says Hi. No wood stoves, pellet stoves, propane barbecues. Exactly, exactly. And how many people have asthma from pollen and grass, asks Rosé. Oh, don't even say that. Oh, they're going to want to ban grass now. Everybody's got to get fake grass. Oh, by the way, do you know what that's made with? It's plastic. It's gas. I'm just saying. Hey, if you're loving the show, it's brought to you by McCarthy Automotive. I'd be remiss if I did not mention that again. Amazing, amazing people. They're the only people I will ever trust to touch my beloved Dodge Ram. gas guzzling ram. Yeah. They do it right. 1150 Heron Road. Satan's Playmate says, I do agree with removing gas as we do not have the power grid to charge electric cars. I do agree with removing gas as we do not have the power to charge electric cars. That doesn't make sense. Am I missing something? I'm sorry. Could you clarify that for me? I apologize. Are we talking about natural gas and propane? Yep, we're talking about gas. Gas! Gas! Rosé. Gas! Gas bad. Gas bad. Oop, bad. They actually want this banned wood burning. They also want this banned wood burning fireplaces. Oh, too banned. I see. Okay, Mike corrected himself. I'm sorry. I'm muddling through this best I can. Listen, it was one thing when I was doing this, you know, as the sidekick. It's another thing when I'm running the whole show and trying to, y'all need to slow down when you type. I'm kidding. I get it. In May 2018, we used our gas barbecue and camping equipment and generator. Hell yeah. It's how we survive. Man discovered fire for a reason, says Ann.
Yes.
Another Ann Zaborski says, I would like to make a comment about the LRT. When it was just the diesel-run Ottawa O-Train going from Greenboro to Bay Street, it never, ever broke down, even when it was snowing and freezing rain. Isn't that what you should expect from public transit? I think so. Then fast forward to this electric train fiasco and all the bugaboos with it. And this is kind of a different conversation, but also kind of not. I don't understand why we made the investment. The original O-Train, you're right, is diesel. And we kind of laughed at it because it kind of goes from nowhere to nowhere. But then comes, you know, and we did it to say, okay, how do trains work? Good little experiment. Will people respond to it? And then we decided, okay, based on the test, let's go get a whole other kind of train that isn't anything like the train that we did all the training on. Let's go electric instead of diesel. Let's go with a different size track than the one that's diesel. Oh, but you know what? While we're building, you know, the electric train phase two, let's extend the diesel train. So now we're running gas buses, electric buses, diesel O trains, and electric LRT. Does that seem efficient to you? Hell no. Hell no. It's a very good point, Ann. Thank you for that. Let's go to Darren. Darren says, oh, we can't clean your street until the plow is fully charged. Oh, yeah. I can hear that now. I can see the snowplow person walking to my front door. Hi, I can't go any further. Can I plug into your house? I mean, it's nonsense. Think of all the delivery vehicles, okay? Think of your Purolators and your UPS trucks and your Canada Post trucks. Never mind the people who are, you know, doing long hauls, like our friend Hein, who does long hauls, in an electric. All right, great. I can drive for 3 hours. Then I got to stop and charge for six. Then I can carry on for 3 hours, stop and charge for six. Ching, 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 ching. You think it's outrageous seeing the occasional pack of chicken at $37. Now, wait until all the truckers and delivery service vehicles go electric, and we got to pay these people by the hour. How come North America cannot learn from the energy mess in Europe right now, asks Ann, where they cannot get natural gas, so have gone back to coal, and we're being preached to about how bad natural gas is. This Kool-Aid being preached to us is full of holes. Left, I was going to say another kind of hole. Lefties have totally bought into it, however. Look, coal, bad. I think we can all agree. Coal is not the nicest burning thing. There's lots of it in Canada. Not the nicest burning thing. Oh my gosh, Chris Fraser just popped up on the screen. Chris, how long have you been sitting there, buddy?
Oh, for quite a while, but I'm enjoying listening to you.
I'm on a rant, man.
You are, and it's a great rant. I love it.
Okay, listen, we're two for two with Chris calls, and now you've gone the video route. What is your feeling on this? Should this not be a consumer's choice?
It should be a consumer's choice, and I'm getting tired of the government telling people what they can buy and what they can import and how they can live their lives. I was just looking up the plastic ban that came in a couple weeks ago where the government said that manufacturers, the single-use plastics you can't use. Import single-use plastics anymore. And I don't know if you were aware of that, but
We got a bad connection, Chris. Just so you know, I'm struggling to hear you. We got a bad connection, but I'm willing to tolerate it because it's you. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
Using the Sansi microphone, is that getting any better at all?
It's got nothing to do with the microphone. It's just bad internet. Nope. Maybe if it was gas power, if it was gas powered internet, Chris, it would work. But it's electric powered internet, so you know it's intermittent.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. I'll just leave it at that then. I am enjoying the show. My comment is that I just don't like the idea of the government telling people what they can buy and how they can live their lives.
Can you imagine your next vehicle purchase? You go to whatever car dealership and you're prepared to pay money. You got your eyes set. This is the vehicle I want. I want this. And it happens to be gas powered. And the commissioned salesperson and their manager has to look you in the eye and say, Chris, I know you want that. I know you do. But if you could wait a week or so, I got to sell X number of electrics before I can sell you this. What the hell kind of world is that? Can you imagine going to the liquor store? I would like a bottle of Dom Perignon, please. No, I'm sorry. I can't sell you any Dom Perignon until I've sold 50 bottles of Bailey's. Like, what?
When I first heard that, I thought that's the exact same thing I was thinking. It's like, how are they going to regulate how many cars a dealership can sell and what type?
They're going to.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Hey, man, they regulate everything else in our lives, don't they? They regulate radio, they regulate TV, they regulate... I mean, it's just enough, enough, enough. I want less government, not more. Get out of my life. Let me make the decisions. I'm a big boy now. I can do this, right?
Yeah, and I think the environmentalists, what's happening now is the idealism overrides anything that's practical. So idealism over practicality. That's basically what it is. If they have that idea there, then they go with that. Doesn't matter how practical it is.
Is this a matter of the squeaky wheel gets the grease? I mean, are they making so much noise that they're getting all the attention? Okay, is it time for us then, who just see this for what it is? Look, let me make the choice. I'm not saying electric cars are bad. I'm not. I'm not saying electric appliances are bad. I'm not. I'm just saying, let me go to the store, go to the dealership, and let me make the decision for myself. We're already making wiser decisions. The cars, listen, the Ram I'm driving, I call it a gas guzzler, and compared to a lot of vehicles, it uses more gas. But my God, the Ram of today is a lot more efficient on gas than the Ram of 10, 15, 20 years ago. Like, we're making the right decisions. You know, on one hand, I read an article this week that says, you know that hole in the ozone that has been such a concern? It's looking like that thing has pretty much healed itself in the next year or so. That's not even going to be a thing anymore. But here we are, still having this conversation.
Yep.
All right, Chris.
It's a crazy world, and I don't know where this is going, but I don't like what direction this is going, because what's going to be next? you just don't know what's going to be next, because they just can't stop regulating everything. It just becomes that slippery slope of constant regulation.
Like, yeah, they're addressing problems that nobody has articulated are actually problems, in my view. Chris, it's always good to hear from you. It's always good to see you. Yes, you and I, lunch soon. All right, my man.
Okay.
All right. Sorry for the bad connection there, but that is Chris. He's always very thoughtful, and I always appreciate having him on. We're into a little bit of overtime. Let me just run through some of the other comments. We do have a text at 613-604-6464. This person says, great show today, John. People won't be able to charge their card until after 7 p.m. Dictatorship. I believe you mean car. Listen, remember that? Don't do your dishes in the dishwasher until after 7 p.m. Don't do your laundry until after 7 p.m. We don't want to overwhelm the grid. I'm sorry. Is something about to happen in the next 5 or 6 years where the grid is magically going to be able to handle all of this? I don't think so. Maybe that's the place to start. Start doing something with the grid. Knock off the wind turbines, knock off the solar power, or figure out how to actually make it give us more than 4% of the energy that we're actually using. We've invested obscene amounts of money in this infrastructure. It's giving us nothing in return. It's a drop in the bucket, if that. Let's get the grid up to this absolutely awesome, you know, always there for you, 100% reliable. You know, we're not having to worry about, you know, the kind of light bulbs people are using and doing their dishes after dinner, etc. It's a great point. Replacing an EV battery can cost over $20,000. I've seen that. I'm sure the cost is coming down as more and more of us drive electric cars. That would be the argument. Sounds like a wall out of work trucks. I have pickups for work vehicles. And somebody's posted a phone number into the chat. I will not put that on the screen. Mike says they want to change everything to electric without significantly upgrading the grid. Let in record-breaking amount of immigration. I'm not sure what immigration has to do with that, Mike, but there's your comment nonetheless, and I appreciate it. Ford Lightning only gets 100 miles per charge towing 8,000 pounds. Good luck with that. Yeah, right. I'm going to tow my trailer to the campsite with an electric vehicle. I'm 11 hours driving to see my in-laws in New Brunswick. All right, they're aging. So let's just say there's an emergency. We need to get to New Brunswick. It's already 11 hours. In an electric vehicle, I could maybe get to Montreal, just past it. Then I stop for an hour and charge the car. Maybe I get to Quebec City, and then I got to stop for an hour or two and charge the car. And then I got to get to Rivière-du-Loup, and I got to stop for an hour or two, and I got to charge the car. I mean, my 11-hour trip in an emergency situation is easily a 24-hour trip now. Electric cars make a lot of sense to me if I'm putt-putting around my neighborhood, if I'm going to and from the grocery store, if I'm driving to and from the downtown core to go to work. We're not there yet where we need to just start mandating that you cannot have a gas-powered vehicle. You have to have electric. We're not there yet. Clinton says Europe's problem is they shut down the nuclear plants. Chris, 100% correct. All practicality has left the room with this green ideology, and that is just plain wrong. Lisa says the city should get rid of the bylaw against clotheslines they put in about 20 years ago, whenever that was. Lisa, here's the interesting thing about the bylaws. When did Ottawa and Gloucester and Kanata and, Orleans is, you know, part of it, Navin, Manitic, when did all of these areas... It used to be the regional municipality, you know, then we amalgamated. How long ago was that? I want to say 02? 21 years? So here's the thing, Lisa. The clothesline bylaw, yes, that's a thing, but not necessarily where you live or where I live. See, the bylaws in Gloucester, where I am, are very different still from the bylaws in Kanata. How many of these articles have you read lately where somebody's gone and widened their driveway? I think it was Barrhaven last year. Family put bricks along the side of their driveway and widened it. Somebody complained. They're in the city of Ottawa, which I guess technically is Nepean. But the bylaw there says you cannot widen your driveway. Well, in the city of Gloucester, guess what? You can. Oh, right, but it's not the city of Gloucester. It's Ottawa. Why are our rules differently? My point is, they haven't amalgamated these bylaws yet. So the clothesline thing? Look, my neighbor's got a clothesline. They use it all the time, much to my chagrin. My neighbor who thinks I'm weird, by the way, thinks I'm... And maybe I am, but I'm weird because I have lights on my deck. Electric-powered lights. Yeah, they hang their underwear on their clothesline right there for me to see. Yeah. Great show, John, says Nancy. Nancy, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're enjoying it. If you missed the show, by the way, if you want to hear it again, it's available on podcast. It'syourcall.ca has your links. I'm just going to get through a couple more. The show brought to you by McCarthy Automotive. Great auto service. Family-owned, 1150 Heron Road. Nominated, by the way, for Best Auto Service at Faces Magazine. Voting begins on Sunday. This show is nominated. Blast the Radio is nominated. The show I do in the morning, Carrie and the Milkman, is nominated. Our weather forecaster, Finn, is nominated. The guy coming up this afternoon at 4 o'clock, nominated for Best DJ. On and on it goes. All the voting links, we'll have that on blasttheradio.com and itsyourcall.ca and the Carrie and the Milkman page as of Sunday, including McCarthy Automotive. And last word goes to Ann. Ann, my gosh, you write a book every day on the show. Thank you for this. She says, you're exactly right, John. EVs should only be for booting around cities. Gas vehicles should still be the standard for highway driving. Nothing else makes any sense. It isn't just the expense of fueling up the RV. It's the tons of extra time that would take. Time is precious. Time is money. There we go. I appreciate your input. I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate you being on our video screen and on our phones. And I wish you an amazing weekend. Thank you very much. This is Your Call.